Hello, everyone. I think that you already read the topic. That's why you are here. And for now, in order for you to better understand the context of what I will be talking about, I want you for just a small moment to close your eyes and imagine that you're a doctor with 10 years of experience. You saved maybe thousands of lives, or you're a teacher and you taught, I don't know, biology, math or English or whatever, and you shaped dozens, also like thousands of young minds. Or you're an engineer and you've built so many different bridges so people access different parts of the city. And then something happens. Then you hear an explosion and your life changes. You cannot be in this country, in your city anymore, and you are forced to leave. And you come to Germany and you think, yes, here is where my experience matter. Here is where I can find my place, where my skills will matter. But instead, you are told to wait. To wait until the paperwork is ready, to wait until your diploma is recognized, and you're still waiting. And before you wait, you can be said, oh, you can work in cleaning, or you can work in Lidl, which is also totally fine, but for people who spend years of studying different skills, this is blocking their potential. And that was a little bit of a context, and right now I want to say who I am. I'm the person who in 2022 came to Germany. And right now I'm a political activist. I was the person who said, like, me and politics, like, never, please, never. Never in my life. But right now I work by the SPD Berlin, and some people actually wonder, like, why SPD? They are not supporting Ukraine. But at the same time, I think that this is exactly the place where Ukrainians are needed to show a different perspective on the situation of migration of Ukrainian refugees, and here is exactly where I am. I am a member of three different NGOs, I think even four, but okay. And we organize, we create political projects for people with migrational background, mostly for Ukrainians, so they get to know political system a little bit more. I am also alumna, two times, of Deutschland Stiftung Integration. This is like a really great funding organization. Maybe you should also check it out because it's like crazy. It makes such a great job. And when I start to talk about the integration, at first we should understand the past in order to understand the present a little bit better. And why the system looks the way it does today and why it has its own challenges and drawbacks. So at first, after the Second World War, as we all know, Germany needed to be reconstructed. It needed a lot of workflows to come inside of the country. That's why from 1950s to 1970s, they had guest workers, Gastarbeiter. For that, they had contracts with different countries, and migration was just something temporary. There was no integration of people at all, because everything they wanted is just for people to work and to return to their home countries. But at the same time, it also created some challenges because some people stayed, and basically the kids of these people, they were neither Germans nor from other countries, and without integration, it was so hard. So the second phase of it was actually the post-reform, when the Germany united again, it was the Hartz era. And here's where the concept of Fördern und Fordern was created, but the system in real life was created to slow down the processes, to slow down the integration of new people, because basically, like, they thought that too many qualified foreigners can basically, like, outcompete Germans. So they needed the workers, but at the same time, they also did not need them. And it was with all the processes that were creating back then, they were slowing down the process of integration of all these people. And the third aspect, it's just it's just as it is. It's the federal and institutional layering, the federal system of Germany, because we all know that there is a big split because of three levels, of federal level, state level, and municipal level. And you have different rules on these three levels, and it's sometimes it's so hard, and it's also slowing down the processes, which is not bad, it's just the fact. Just to conclude everything that I've just said from historical context, the system actors were just not created for a great integration. They were created for slowing down the system and for activation into any work that foreigners could get. But before we go deeper into the topic, I want you all to understand that I'm here not to criticize a system. I'm here not to say that Germany is bad, Germans are bad, the integration system is bad. It's not. It's definitely not. It is working. But at the same time, I am a Ukrainian refugee and I am insider of this system. And I understand it from inside perspective, not from outside. And I see the drawbacks, I see the challenges. It's not like problems or something bad. It's just the realities. And the idea is not to criticize, but rather to emphasize the challenges that exist and to try to make you understand them, and that we all together try to change the system and make it more smooth and integrational processes a lot better. So, 1 million, 250,000 migrants, refugees. Who are they? The vast majority of people are women, 80%. If you look at this, 77% of them came to Germany without a partner, just from the women. 48 came to Germany with little kids, and 12% fled to Germany with their partner and with their kids. Refugees are highly educated. They have at least a university degree. I mean, at least, because sometimes they have two or three, sometimes. And even postdoctoral degree, and 28% have only school education. How many percent? 96% of people who came to Germany did not know German. Only 4% of people could have spoken it. And apart from all these people whom I mentioned, you can see the intentions of them. So like 37% want to stay forever or several years. Then 34% want to stay until the end of the war. Then 27% still did not decide, they don't know. And 2% of people want to leave within 1 year from the moment of these researches. If you want to know where I took this information from, I wrote here also like the researches and the institutes who were conducting these researches. But if we talk about it, like, can at least any system be ready for such inflows of people? Such huge inflows of people who are qualified, who hold university degrees, but at the same time who came with their kids and also need childcare. Is the system ready? And if it's not ready, there it actually blocks people. So today I'm going to focus on six main points, which I think are relevant in this. At first is registration and status clarity, recognition of foreign qualifications, of the 77% of people who have diplomas, language and integration course capacity, childcare, housing and local integration, and job center incentives. And the first one is registration and status. Actually, Germany reacted pretty fast and created paragraph 24, which is different from the Syrian refugees because asylum is so hard to obtain. It's incredibly hard, and with paragraph 24, which is temporary protection, it's actually easier and it's a lot better. But at the same time, it takes months to get it because the system has so many people and there are not much people who can do the paperwork, and people should wait for up to 6 months. Sometimes I know that my friends were waiting at least for appointment for like 3 months, and then the appointment came and I say, oh, your appointment is in 3 months more or even more. So this is like the case. So the system is working, but at the same time it is so slow, and people who want to work, they cannot because they don't have any legal status here. The second aspect is about the recognition of foreign qualifications, and also like Germany is one of the countries that actually has legal process for recognition of foreign qualifications, but at the same time it has its own challenges for sure. The process is extremely long. People can wait up to 18 months or even more to get their diploma. And actually, depending on the federal state, it also depends if it will be recognized or it will not be recognized. And it can also take like up to eternity in this case, just to understand, can I work here? Am I a specialist in this sphere or no? And at the same time, I can say that all these people who are not working but have the qualification, this is not just their personal loss. It's actually the economic loss for Germany, because all the people who were working there, they want to work. They don't want to receive benefits. They actually want to work because they loved their job. But this long processes and also the pressure from job center, but we will talk about it a little bit later, it all slows down the people, and it could have been a little bit better in this case. The third aspect is integration courses and childcare. From the researchers, many researchers that I've read, this is one of the most common problems of all of the Ukrainian refugees, that women, as we said, you saw already the researchers how many women are here, they cannot go to integration courses because they lack childcare. There is no places in Kitas, and women cannot go to work. Women cannot integrate fully because they need to take care of their kids. If there will be two partners, it would be a lot easier. But right now, like the situation, you also seen all the statistics of how many women came here with their partner. So it's basically hard. But at the same time, it's Germany took the responsibility for all of the people who came to Germany and realize that it's their responsibility to teach Ukrainians the language. That's why the integration courses that were created especially for Ukrainians is like the big thing that Germany did, and really big achievement in this case. And then the housing market. It's not only about the migrants, it's not only about the refugees, it's about everyone. And here I see it a little bit from two different perspectives. We also saw the statistics, how many people would like to return back home. And the federal government's target of 400,000 new homes annually is not enough right now. But when the people return back home, what will be with all of these housing apartments? Will they be empty? It's like one perspective to look at the things. But at the same time, if you talk about integration, people need to have the place where they feel safe. And definitely the refugee camps are not these places overall, because it's so hard to be there. And when I saw how it looks like, for me, the camps look like prison. I was not there for long I spend there maybe like 1 hour just with all my documents, but people spend there years without any apartments. And it's actually so traumatizing. They have their own infrastructure inside of these camps, but at the same time, they kind of live in tents. It's not the life that we imagine for ourselves. And people want to feel safe, but at the same time, they face here this problem that they do not have home at all. They do not have homes already in Ukraine or in Syria or in other countries or in Afghanistan. And they do not have homes also in Germany where they came to seek for asylum or refugee, I don't know, like for all of this stuff. And it's so hard to understand. Can you just imagine not having a place to stay at all, like for a year or for two? This is incredibly mentally hard. And we also need to take into account that all the people who came from war, they are traumatized. They are mentally so traumatized, and it's like one layer and a different layer, these apartments, and a different layer is all of this bureaucracy. And it's just so hard to build a life here. You need so much energy, so much strength, so much power just to start over here. And for young people, it's a little bit easier because they did not have anything back home, maybe. But for people who were working their whole life there, who built houses, bought apartments, bought cars, and right now they hear, oh, but you came here with your BMW. Yes, because they were working their whole life, and that was like the only thing they could have taken with them from Ukraine, just to feel safe, just to bring their kids to the safer space here. And another one is just about job centers. They were never designed as talent development institutions, but rather as control mechanisms. And actually, I noticed it in my own case, because in job center, I was said that I need to go and work in Reve, Edeka, cleaning, and it's totally fine. I mean, it's definitely fine. Every job is dignified. But when I had my internship and I was talking to my member of parliament, she said like, yes, I understand it, but not all the people who have qualifications should go and work there because they were made to do more. And in job center, this is like the case. Their KPI is on how quick refugees or migrants find the job. It's not about the quality of the positions, but rather about how quick people go to work. They get rewards from it. And in my case, when I told that I will have internship, which was fully paid, job center said like, no. I was like, hey, but it will help me find a job. I can find new network here. It was in Berlin Parliament. And he was like, no, you can do it in your free time, but you need to find job. And right now I can say to you, you should go to Reva. And I was like, but it's paid internship. I will receive money. He was like, mm-mm. And then after internship, I came to him and said, oh, I received a job right now, but it's part-time. He said, no, you need to find full-time job. And I was like, huh? I received a job right now in SPD party in Berlin. He was like, no, you should find a full-time job. You can go to Reva or Lidl or Edeka. But I already received the job. And this is like the case, it's not only my case, and some people also come and they basically say, you should lower your standards, you should lower your qualifications and just go wherever it is available, full-time job. And when I said, oh, maybe I work part-time, maybe I also want to study, he said to me like, oh, you want to study till you are like 80? I was like, I'm 24, people here are studying till 28. He was like, and what? You need to go to work and not to study. This is my own case from job center. This is what I was told there. And for me, it did not influence me that much, but it can break other people. It can break people and they will go there because they are already so traumatized. And when people in Germany are pushing to them, when people were learning the language, when people did everything they could here to integrate to this system, it can just break all of these people. But the old design of the integration system used to make sense. Why it backfires now? What happens now? You can see also the statistics. Institut der Deutschen Wirtschaft said that there were so many unfilled positions for skilled workers across sectors. In care work, IT, engineering, education, construction, the demand is so high that without immigration, Germany simply cannot function. And also two-thirds of companies see skilled labor shortages at their biggest risk. But at the same time, these positions are unfilled and refugees and migrants are not working because of the problems that we were discussing before. So how to make it work in this case, because so many positions are unoccupied and still people are not working. And we've already seen why this paradox exists. And I also added that we should talk about the Russian propaganda in this case. And actually not only Russian, but Russia right now is the main actor in this case. So at first, integration is a social glue of democracy. So basically, when people integrate, they are equal parts of the society here. They pay taxes, they are employers, they are employees, they are consumers, voters, and like the democratic system becomes stronger with all these people. If integration exists, then Germany will become stronger, right? Then we have that Germany as a consequence, like Germany matters geopolitically, and Germany is the main actor in Europe. And if the system fails in Germany, it will be a sign for other countries that like, No, we cannot function like this with so many migrants. No, we cannot be so multi-culti. It's like if one system fails, then it will be the chain of other systems that will be also failing, that look at Germany and waiting for it to be the strongest one in this case. And then low cost, high leverage, which means like tanks, missiles and drones are expensive. Propaganda is cheaper. It's so cheap that they do not need even to create narratives. They can just amplify, exaggerate what already exists in society. They can just tell like, migrants are stealing our jobs. People see that they cannot find the job, and then this is a narrative, migrants are stealing our jobs. So they see migrants as a problem, but not the problem, I don't know, of qualification, of paperwork, or so many different stuff that is happening. Why migrants do not have jobs, or they have jobs, and why like natives do not have jobs or have jobs. Like, it's not about migrants at all. It's just like life, it's just competition which we have. And the last aspect is magnifies domestic political opponents. Right now we see that AfD is so strong in Germany. And also like right-wing parties and also left-wing parties. And it just amplifies, it takes the narratives that they are trying to talk about and it just amplifies them. And it is basically helping Europe to get the polarization, and the more polarization exists in society, the less strong Europe is, the less strong democracy is. And I also underlined what Russia gains from propaganda. In short term, it's just social tension, decreasing trust in government, and forcing reactive policy shifts, like, okay, it's just people hesitate, let's say. Medium term fuels populist gains in political polarization, pressuring the government to adopt restrictive or decisive policies. So like when people are angry right now at migrants, then definitely government should do something about it. And long term, it weakens Germany's credibility and leadership across Europe, amplifying the distrust and Euroscepticism. That's what we actually notice, because if I read some researches, sometimes people vote for far right or far left because they are anti-migrational. they do not want to read any other researches of why it can be happening, why we have these crises that we have right now. Mostly people just see the problem just for them. And it's fully understandable. If I am a mother of five kids and I don't have any husband, for example, then I need to think, how can I feed my kids and not about the politics and what is happening there. And when I am said that, oh, it's all Ukraine, it's all migrants, they are stealing our jobs, my bills are higher because of the migrants, because of the migration crisis. If I don't have even time to read all of the other articles or to analyze it because I need to feed my kids, and for sure I will vote for the parties who do not accept migrants as such in the system. And I think that the main task of politics is just to be able to talk to such people who do not have any interest in getting to know what is happening, just to make politics accessible to these people and to make them understand that it's not only you and you, it's also on level you and society, you and country, you and the world. It's not only like you and you or you and your family, it's different levels. So if Russian propaganda thrives on our weaknesses, what can we do to close these gaps before they are exploited? If I think about the system right now, here I mentioned six things that are working so incredibly good. Temporary protection, paragraph 24, was the thing that made integration of Ukrainians a lot quicker. It made Ukrainian refugees part of the German society. It did not exclude them, but instead it included them, even though having its own challenges and drawbacks. Basic social security and housing support. The same, like Germany made Ukrainians part of the society, not just the outstanders, or not just some random refugees, some random migrants. Language integration courses, which never happened in the migration wave in 2015 with Syria. They did not receive such support as for language courses and integration. They are actually getting language courses right now. And I also remember one thing about the language courses, another challenge that most of the people just go to courses, they pass the test, which does not actually show your level of knowing German. And when you are in one group with people who have A2 level and people who have, I don't know, B2 plus, and they are put in one group, who will benefit from it? It's like, it's so hard because people should be on one level, but at the same time, how can you evaluate what level people right now are? Like, they pass the test. No matter like how poorly or how good, they pass the test and they should pass to the different level. So it's also like the differences between their knowledge inside of the group. This is also what makes it a little bit harder to learn the language, because if for some you need to learn some basics, for other people you already need to learn higher level German. Then civil society and volunteer infrastructure. It's like insanely crazy support that we received from German citizens, from European citizens, just like with people on the borders of Ukraine when the war started. And like all of this projects that were created, NGOs that were made, like it's insanely crazy support. Then education access for children and youth. So basically, children became the part of the system also. They were not excluded. And most of them, for them, it's a lot easier to learn the language. So basically, they learn, and right now, they can help their parents to learn. And then digital experimentation and pilot programs. There was a pilot program also about the documents online, but it was just pilot, and it was just in some separate federal states. But it did not work properly. But I will talk about it a little bit later also. And when I talked already about what works really well, right now I want to give some suggestions of what can be done a little bit better. And at first, like the recognition of qualifications. The problem is that long waiting times keep skilled professionals out of their fields. So the first thing that we can do is provisional recognition. People can work under supervision of professionals, not just wait, but already start to be integrated into the system. The second one, there is already one law in Aufenthaltsgesetz. It's law 81A, which ensures fast-track procedure. So basically, employers can apply for visas and also for recognition of diplomas, and it will take a lot less than 18 months. It will take up to maximum 2 months, which is a lot faster. But right now, not all of the people know about it, actually. And then supervised practice. This is actually so good to already be having internships a couple diploma checks with already working in Germany, because it's so hard to get the first job in Germany. Then with the second, third one, it will be easier. But if you already have experience, if you already had internships, you are already part of this working system, of this job market. The second aspect is job center incentives. I already told you that job centers are rewarded for how quick they help, kind of help, people to find the jobs. But what if we switch from how quick into how can you get long-term employment, which will be of high quality, that will be the job that you wanted to have, that you had in Ukraine, and you will not be rewarded just for how quick you find a job, because if you talk about the speed, then you can go anywhere, but it's not about you, it's not about your qualification, and actually it will be the loss of Germany too, of economic system of Germany. The second one is like bonuses. For job centers, just to introduce the bonuses for matching skills to profession. It will be really good. It will be also like the switch from fast to really quality based. And the third one is internships and mini jobs. I heard so many stories, and also I had it in my life. When I came to Germany, I started to work. I had mini job, and I informed about a job center, and like they started to withdraw money from my benefits back then. And then in 9 months, I received a fine of 5,000 euros, and like because you did not inform us that you were working, but I did. I actually did. And right now I have friends who also try to work just to be more qualified in their sphere. And they also inform job center. And then in like 6 months, they receive these fines. It's actually not so motivating to be working, to be studying, to be earning some money, because 5,000, you will be working I don't know how many months to pay this. So basically, people do not have to have the fear of getting 5,000 euro fines. They need to be already good specialists, and they need to try to work here. Then, vacancy talent match. Yes, you see how many vacancies are empty right now in Germany, but at the same time, a lot of people are not employed yet. So what can we do? National skills database, where not only migrants, actually it would be great if all of the people just uploaded their qualifications, and the employers can just see who these people are, what qualification they have. Then AI-driven matching platforms to connect vacancies with migrants in real time. It was actually tested in some federal states, but maybe we need to focus more on it, because it will make the process of integration of migrants finding a job a lot quicker. And then what changed my life was mentorship programs, because I'm so inspired by my mentors. They gave me so much, and they can actually help me find the needed connections with people, networking, can find, I don't know, some grants for my projects, or they can just help me find the right person to be the speaker on a project. And they can also find, help me find the job, which actually happened with my member of parliament. When I had my internship, she actually helped me to find the job. So maybe if people were becoming mentors, because I'm also a mentor right now, I mentor for a teenager who is 17 years old, and I see so much potential in her, which she does not yet see. And it's so inspiring, and she also told me already that I helped her. So maybe if people, Germans, were becoming mentors for migrants, they could have helped because they were living here, you are living here, and you can help other people to understand the system a little bit more. And the really important topic is also like narrative and communication. The existing problem is silence allows propaganda to fill the gaps. So if you do not talk about the thing, it is not non-existent. It exists, so maybe at first we need to create public information campaigns. So we need to talk about good cases of integration. We need to inform people, we need to create the basis so people analyze more. They do not just receive the information and say like, oh yeah, this is reality, like they do in TikTok or Instagram. We just need to create some campaigns that make people understand the propaganda, how it works, how it influences us, and be able to analyze and be able to check and double check and triple check if it's correct or not correct. Then migrants' voices and media. We need to hear about good cases of integration. We need to hear what refugees achieved when they came to European Union or to Germany. These stories will just break the existing stereotypes. And then, as I already mentioned, counter disinformation awareness. People need to acknowledge the propaganda. They need to know how it works. And they need to be able to question it and analyze information. So, in conclusion, I want to say that integration 1.0 saved lives of millions of people. It helped millions to find their homes. And integration 2.0 needs to make the process a lot faster, smarter, and fairer. Because if we stay silent, then disinformation wins. Then far-right parties wins. Our future is only in our hands, and only we can decide what will be in the future if we just unite and if we try just stop, think, analyze, and act. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Do you want to take questions?
Yep.
Are there questions in the audience? Do we have questions from the internet? There is one question in the audience. I come with the micro.
Hi, thanks for your perspective. I have a very provocative question. I want to apologize in advance. I find it quite ironic that you are working for the SPD. because like the SPD was a ruling party in the last 23 years out of 27 years. So only 4 years, they were not a ruling party. And they are directly responsible for many things you criticized in your talk. So since you are aware of that.
Yep.
So what do you think about this? And is the SPD available? Does they know? Do they know of the contents of your talk?
Thank you for your question. I think like everyone knows. But at the same time, right now, SPD has new inflows, new faces in the party, so maybe they will have the different perspectives. And it's like the responsibility of us also. Like, I'm working for SPD for not that long. I'm just total newcomer, and actually, like, I'm a refugee. I don't have the German pass. Like, I came there, but at the same time, we can just talk and talk and talk and to change perspective. I know that SPD does not share good views on migration, and they did not fail, but at the same time, they did not succeed. And this is like the case. They had experience, and maybe right now we can change it into something better.
I wanted to ask about AI-driven matching of like qualifications and jobs, since you said in some states it's already in action. Do you know which states, and can you give some resources where to look if I'm more interested in that?
Actually, it is not active. It was just a test drive that I read. I actually cannot remember which exactly, but you can check it also online. It's not like in action. It was testing, and maybe they want to improve something and then to make it work.
One more question, yes?
Do you have any specific personal initiatives that people can take to help immigration? As you also said, that's a big factor where people specifically help.
That's actually a really good question. Like, for sure, my first point will be just support Ukraine. Just donate for Ukrainian army, because then the war will not spread here. That's like for sure. This is like the main point I want to emphasize here, because it's really important for us all that we do not have war in Europe. Yes, but regarding it, we are creating some political projects which also help with integration with NGOs that I work for. And if you're interested, we can just talk. Maybe you can somehow join us and help. Or also, like, I think it's important just because I'm from Berlin, and in Berlin they have lots of NGOs. So maybe just to find the NGOs in your federal state, and also like to find people who work towards integration of migrants, and then to maybe propose them projects, or just to create projects, or just to help them with the existing ones. This is like my case, my idea of it.
I don't have a question, I just want to answer. Oh yeah, sorry. I don't have a question. You can look into AWO Partnerschaftsprojekt. That's really what you suggested.
Yeah, actually AWO is in every federal state and is really strong.
So, do we have more questions? Otherwise, I would say give a warm round of applause to Victoria.